Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise God. Hi, everybody. Good evening. I just want to open up by saying thank you, Jesus, for being the husband before I got a husband. amen. No, I'm being serious. He is my first husband. And Richard knows that. And I know that I'm Richard's second. God's first. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to God because he found me when I was 13. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I came from a broken family. I was very quiet, very withdrawn, didn't like public speaking, didn't like doing anything that involved anybody looking at me because I just didn't feel worth it. But I thank God that he didn't overlook me. When I felt overlooked by everything and everyone else, he found me in my mess and he saved me and he's still saving me to the uttermost. So I'm grateful for that. Let's open up in a word of prayer. We'll read the scripture and then I'll go into the other thank yous. Father, I just want to thank you so much for you. I want to thank you for your people. And I want to thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray that as you speak through me, Lord God, that your church, your body would be blessed and edified and built up. And that we would see ourselves as you see us, oh God. And that all that you want to do tonight will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could just turn your Bibles to Isaiah 54. We're going to be reading verses 1 to 3. Stay standing while you read it if you can, please. So Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Verse 2, enlarge, everybody say enlarge. Enlarge your house, build an addition, everybody say build. Spread out your home, everybody say spread. And my favorite part, spare no expense. Verse 3, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. As you take your seats, just say to your neighbor, spare no expense. Amen. You can be seated. So I just want to continue to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, my spiritual parents. Similar to God, they found me as a much thinner teenager. Married life's been good. A thin teenager. And, you know, they saw something in me that I really didn't see in myself. And they really took me under my wing when I came to this city, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from my home. And they loved me as if I was their own. And I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank you for continuing to do that even now. I want to thank the pastoral leadership team and all the leaders in the house for giving me this opportunity. I want to thank my mum for being the best mum I could have ever wanted. I didn't pray for you, but God knows what I needed because you're exactly what I would have prayed for if I could have. So thank you, mum. And I want to thank my wonderful husband. 5 years! Yeah! I want to thank Richard so much because on earth, he's the closest example that I have to the Lord Jesus. And I mean that with every single bit in me. He's so much like Christ that he draws me closer to him every day. So I'm so grateful for you. Amen. So let's get into this. So say to your neighbor again, spare no expense. Amen. So as we know that we're in a season of where that promise scripture over this house and over our lives is that we are in a spacious place. And the theme, if you've not heard it through Pastor James's amazing messages, please get onto the podcast. But it's all been about expansion. And this morning we launched out 7 new life groups. How many know that our leaders are sparing no expense? They are going for it. We are expanding to the left and to the right. And it's just such an honor and a privilege to be a part of that expansion. But even if you weren't up on the pulpit being launched out, how many of us know that God wants to expand us in our own personal lives? You might think, well, maybe that's just for the leaders that are being launched out into life groups. Maybe that's just for the people that are being raised up into leadership. No, that's a lie. Expansion is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, expansion is for you. And I love God. I love God because he's not a respecter of persons. And when he speaks a thing, it's not just a corporate thing, although it is, and we praise God for that. It's not a leader thing, although it is, and we thank God for that. But it's a personal and it's an individual promise. And he is saying to every single one of us today in this place that we are going to be bursting at the seams. In your personal lives, in the way that we think, in the way that we make decisions, in our futures, we are going to be bursting at the seams. Now, I can tell from some of your reactions that you don't believe it yet. But you know what? That's okay because God knows it. And once God's spoken a thing, it can never return to him void. Amen. And so we're just going to look at a couple of things really quickly in the next few minutes about what expansion looks like. Because in this scripture, in Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3, that's our second promise scripture. If you didn't know, Victory Outreach International, we have two core promise scriptures, both found in Isaiah. One in Isaiah 45, 2 to 3, where it talks about us, you know, getting those treasures out of darkness. And how many of us know that's already been fulfilled? We've got the homes, we've got the gang, we've got those treasures out of darkness that are living miracles of God goodness. Amen? And now we're in the fulfillment of that second promise scripture, which is seen here in Isaiah 54. And it says, sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break aloud into joyful song. Verse 2, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, because soon you're going to be bursting at the seams and your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. And you know, verse 1, it talks about the promise. It says, you know, you don't have a husband now, but you're going to have children. You know, you're going to have so many children, more than the woman that's married. And how many of us, that can be like us, we receive the promise when it just seems impossible. We receive the promise, and I can imagine that woman, she'd be like, wow, me, Lord? Wow. And when we get a promise, how many of us have had a personal promise from the Lord? Amen? When we get that promise, we're excited. We're like, whoa! God spoke to me, let me write it down, make it plain so I can run with it. Hallelujah. You got that promise, you're excited. But what I love about God, he's such a good father because he doesn't just give us promises. He then gives us action. And expansion takes faith. Receiving the promise is easy. We don't have much involvement in that. God speaks his promise. God speaks his word. God gives his promises specifically, corporately, individually. He gives his promises and we just need to just hear it. We don't take much involvement in that. But the next part in expansion, it takes a bit of participation. Can somebody say amen? And it takes faith on our part. Pastor James spoke a brilliant message, as I said today, about owning our own promise. He spoke about Caleb and he spoke about, you know, give me this mountain. Caleb's just such a boss. Give me my mountain. I'm 85. Give it to me. And he spoke about a sense of ownership, that it's not just about waiting for it to come to you, but about going after and getting those promises. And one thing I just want to pick out from what Pastor James said, and it links into what I'm speaking about today. He spoke about a Jordan mentality, not standing back and waiting for God to do his promise and to do what he's spoken over your life, but actually stepping into it. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God did a miracle that they didn't need to participate in. He spread the Red Sea and they walked through it. But when they were going into the promised land, when they were inheriting it, it took faith because their feet got wet. And how many of us know that when God gives us a promise and then he wants us to act on it, sometimes we're waiting for God to do it all. And he's saying, no, I want your participation. I want your feet to get wet and for you still to trust me. I want you to step into that water and for you to know that I'm still going to do it. And that's hard. Is it just me? I'm just like, God, I want the Red Sea again. I'm praying, I'm fasting. God, give me the Red Sea. I want the Red Sea. And God's like, no, step in and I will do it. step in and I will do it. We have to move from receiving the promise to actually acting on the promise. In our thinking life, in the way that we live, thinking in a way that actually reflects the reality of the promise. If we look at that woman in Isaiah 54, the Bible says that she was unmarried, and yet it was talking about her having children. Then that was the promise. Then it actually says to her, don't just sit on the promise and pray about it, but actually act on it. Start building. She must have looked so crazy. She must have looked crazy. She was buying wood. She was buying materials. She was building extra houses. I imagine her just being a little one-bedroom bungalow. One-bedroom bungalow, similar to what I grew up in Hackney. It was like two-bedroom bungalow. And she was building, and she was building, and she was building. And she's like, you know what? I need to employ some men to help me build this thing. And people must be looking at her and thinking, you are crazy. You're not even married. What are you doing? But God had given her a promise. And it wasn't good enough for her to just sit and believe the promise. When we really believe in the promise, it takes action. And it takes us acting on it without it fully being manifested yet. When she was building her extension, when she was sparing no expense, she didn't have the children yet. She looked crazy. But that's what God is requiring us to do, a new mentality, a mentality shift. And God is doing something big in our lives. If you haven't caught it yet, like I said, God's word is faithful. He is doing something big, enormous, gigantic in our lives, in this church, in this city, in this nation, in this season. He is doing something great. And for that greatness to be fulfilled, it is going to take faith on our part. Not waiting for the Red Sea, not waiting for God to do it all, but for us to pick up our tools and get building. Build that extension before you see the 3,000 souls. Build that extra ministry before you see the people needing it. Build it now. And that takes faith. Tell your neighbor it takes faith. James chapter 2 verse 17. It says, so too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead. Or another translation, as we all know, would say, faith without works is dead. It's all well and good us receiving the promise, writing it down, praying into it, maybe even, you know, going that extra mile, fasting, hallelujah, fasting into that promise, getting a prayer partner alongside you to pray into it. But how many of us know we need to put works to that thing? We need to put wheels in that thing. Why do you think we've employed our administrator? For where we're at now, we don't necessarily need it, but we're building in faith. We're expanding before we see with our physical eyes what's going to need to be taking place. And like I said before, it's not just for the leadership. It's for you. What's God spoken into your life? What is the verb that God is telling you to do now to put works into that thing? What is he saying to you to do now? I love what God says. He says that he gives the woman the promise in verse 1. And then straight afterwards in verse 2, he gives her action words. Now, even though I'm a maths teacher, I like the English language as well. And all of those words that we said out as we were reading, they're all verbs. Do we all know what a verb is? Yes, a doing word. So it's not just a passive word that you can just think, oh, that's a nice. No, enlarge, it takes your participation. Spreading out, that takes your involvement. Sparing no expense, that takes you spending something. Hello. Ooh, you went quiet on that one. And that's exactly what he said to her. As soon as he gave her the promise, with every promise comes action. And I love what God said to her as well. He didn't just give her what to do, but he gave her a warning. And the warning is found right at the end of verse 2. And it says, spare not. Tell your neighbor, spare not. And I was looking up the original Hebrew word for spare not. I won't read it out. But to spare, in that context, it means to hold back, to refuse, to reserve, or to preserve. So to spare, it means to hold back, to refuse, to reserve, or to preserve. And you know what that speaks of? When I read that, I see unbelief. Somebody that's sparing, They don't completely believe the promise. Let's just do a little bit of a participation. If you had, you know, right, you're not going to get condemned. God's blessed you with it. God gave you a download of the lottery numbers for Saturday. Got it all, including the golden jackpot one, yeah? Every single number, God's downloaded it to you, yeah? And he says, you know what, okay, these are the numbers for the Saturday night jackpot. I don't know about you, but I would empty my bank account and buy every single ticket. I would borrow some money and buy every single ticket. But how many of us know? Some of us wouldn't. I'd like to say that I would actually, but maybe I wouldn't, just in case. And how many of us know that even when God gives us a promise and he's saying enlarge, he's saying expand, he's saying build, he's saying spare no expense, we might give, but we'll hold a little bit back just in case. We might give, but we won't give everything just in case. And God wants to revolutionize our thinking from that just in case mentality. When we are sparing no expense, there is no room for just in case. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all because he knows the impact of the future. When we reserve, we're holding out on what's ahead of us. We're robbing ourselves. And we can take God at his word. He is not a man that he should lie. When he's telling us to enlarge, when he's telling us to expand, when he's telling us to build and to get an addition, it's not because he's going to bring one soul into the church. I mean, praise God for the one soul. But we're hearing about 3,000 souls. Amen? When he's telling you to start that business, it's not because he wants you to do a £100 turnover. Praise God for the £100 turnover. But he wants you to be turning over millions, billions. When he's telling you to reach out to that person, it might not just be for that person, but it could be for the legacy and the dynasty and the future generations that's in that person. So God wants to renew our minds and change our thinking from this just-in-case mentality. Happens all the time. How many of us know that as humans, our natural default is to preserve, self-preservation, yeah? Well, I married him, but may not tell him everything. Which basically means I'm not going to tell him everything, just in case. Praise the Lord, I'm from a Jamaican household, and Jamaican women are very, very strong, very matriarchal. And, you know, I honor the women in my family, but some of the doctrines are wrong. Don't tell your husband your business. Just him, kiss him, leave you. You know, and automatically we build up this way of self-preservation. Okay, I'm gonna do this, but I'm not gonna do everything. I ain't giving everything to that church, just in case. They want me to join 120 club. I'll give £10, just in case. Can I get a witness, somebody? It's true. Well, I don't know, you know, the electric bill might be a bit higher this month, you know, might get that unexpected bill. So let me just hold back this seed just in case. Let me not speak to that person just in case they don't receive what I'm going to say. God wants to smash the just in case mentality. Amen? And let me talk about very quickly as we get ready to close, what the sparing effect, where it says spare no expense, what happens when we choose not to obey and when we do decide to hold back and preserve ourselves. In verse 3, God gives us the reason why we shouldn't spare any expense. Just turn there really quickly if you still got it. It says, for you shall expand, tell your neighbor, expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants, everybody say descendants, will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Now, when you look at the original meaning of the word expand, it means to break forth. Woo! It means to burst out, spread abroad, disperse, grow, increase, open, scatter. That's what it means. And God knows, he tells us not to hold back because he knows that when we hold back, even if it's just a little bit, that that future increase that he's going to bring, they're going to be at the disadvantage. We may not see the impacts of us holding back, but guaranteed our children will. Guaranteed the next generation will. Every time we make a decision to hold back, that's another stumbling block for the next generation. Every time we decide, you know what, let me hold this back just in case, that's another warfare and barrier that the new gen are have to gonna break. We don't need them to go through that. We can break it now so that they can just inhabit the desolate cities that God has promised them. We've got a responsibility. And I know a lot of us, sometimes we don't like hearing that word, but I see it as a privilege. Responsibility is a privilege. It's not a burden. His burden is light. His burden is easy. It's like, woo! When I'm holding it back, I feel the responsibility because I know God ain't blessing it. So I'm like, oh no, I better hold on to this. I better bless it. I better pray. When I'm holding on to it, then I've got more weight on my shoulder. But when I let it go, God's got it. God's blessed it already. God's already spoken into it. And every time we make that decision, we say, you know what, God? This is the last 20, but here it is, 120 club, boom. That's it. We've got systems and structures put in place for 3,000, for 5,000, for 6,000. And how many of us know our unsaved family members and friends could be part of that number? Our family members that we've been praying for and fasting for, they're impacted by our just in case. And God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. He sees us as a people of freedom. He sees us as a people of expansion, breaking forth, bursting out, spreading abroad, dispersing, growing, increasing, being open, scattered abroad like the salt of the earth. And just as the keyboard comes up, God really wants us to be a people that truly spare no expense. And we step out not just in what we do physically, but also in our thinking. Are we thinking as if we're already in the spacious place? Or do we still see this building? I don't see this building. When we look around, are we comfortable here? Or have we allowed God to expand our minds, expand our thinking? When we've got that promise that God's given us, are we still sitting on it a little bit? Or have we begun to put structures in place around it so that when the fulfillment of it comes, we're ready. We're ready. And we're just going to look at very lastly at two examples of two people, Abraham and King Jehoash. Abraham in Genesis 22, God gave him a promise about being the father of many nations, that kings will come out of him, that his descendants will be as numerous as the sand. And he was old, and as we know, he got this one son, Isaac. And God said, give me your son. Spare no expense. And Abraham went to the mountain, and he was ready to sacrifice Isaac to the point where the knife was almost at his throat. And the angel of the Lord said, stop. And then God said in chapter 22, he said, I will certainly bless you. Because you didn't hold back, I will certainly bless you. Not only you, the descendants and the generations and everybody in your sphere to come out of you are going to be blessed because you spared no expense. And then we see the other side of it, King Jehoash in 2 Kings 13, verses 18 to 19. You don't have to turn there. Where it was Elisha's last prophecy before he died. And this king wanted victory, not just for him, but the future generations that were going to come out of his kingdom. And Elisha said, open the window and shoot the arrow. He shot the arrow, and then he said, get the arrow and beat it on the ground. And then he just beat it three times. He held back. And Elisha was angry. He said, why did you only beat it three times? I.e., why did you hold back? Why did you spare? Why did you try and preserve yourself just in case? Because of that, you're only going to have a little bit of victory. Because you held back the victory that God wanted to give you, you're only going to see a little bit. How many of us want to be like Abraham? Amen? Where we spare no expense, even the thing that cost us dear, because God doesn't really want it. He's going to expand us anyway. But it's our mentality, Are we willing? It's not about killing your children. That ain't God. But it's about our mindset. God wants to renew our minds so that we don't hold anything back from him anymore. Don't hold off that area of your heart anymore from him, just in case he lets you down. He's not going to let you down. He's a good, good father. What he's spoken over your life, he will do that and even more than what you could ask, think, or imagine. He is going to blow our minds with the goodness and the fulfillment of his promises. And the amount and the extent of which we experience that is really dependent on how much we hold back, how much expense we decide to spare and preserve. And as you stand to your feet this evening, you can come out if you wish to, or you can just stay in your seats right there. We're just going to pray that where we've got trust issues with the Lord, where we have been going to our default position of holding back just in case, that God would transform us by the renewing of his mind. That we would be a people like that childless woman in Isaiah 54, that build, that expand, that enlarge, and that spare no expense. That God would heal us to the uttermost from every past hurt that's caused us to go to that default position. Because he wants to do something great, not just in the house, not just through the leaders, but in every single one of us. We are in a spacious place and there is room for the fulfillment of every single promise God has spoken over our lives. Hallelujah. As the worship team just continue to sing.
Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your
us just now, just to get in groups, just get in twos with your brother and your sister. Just pray for each other right now. We're in a time and we're in a season. God is moving. He's looking for the people that won't spare any expense, that will catch the vision of going out and reaching to a lost and a hurting world. It's going to take a lot of faith and belief in God that he's with you. And he won't leave you. Just pray. Just encourage your brother. Encourage your sister. Pray for them. Lift them up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Lord, all over this place, Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you are doing, oh God, in our lives. Father, you have called us. You have chosen us. You have a plan for every single one of us, oh God. You've equipped us, oh God. You've given us every single thing that we need, oh God, to fulfill the call upon our lives. Father, you said, we will not spare no expense. Stretch out your curtains, spread it out from the left. read to the right, oh God. Let us think big. Let us think expansion. Let us think souls. Let us think that we're in a city with lots of hurting people. We are the answer. We are the people that you want to use, oh God. Would you have your way with us? God, help us to encourage one another, to build one another up in the most holy of faiths, oh God. Let us grow together, work together, stand together, lift up the arms of our brothers and our sisters, my God. Lord, would you have your way, my God? Fill this place with your presence, oh God. Touch us right now. Meet us right where we are, oh God. Help us to stand on the promises, oh God. Stand on the promises of your word. We are not a just-in-case kind of people. We don't believe to go down that just-in-case route. We believe in your word. We believe that your word is sent to heal. Your word is sent to direct us. Your word is sent to guide us, oh God. Right now, we stand on your word. We declare that your word is yes and amen. Your promises are true, my God. Fill us with a desire, oh God. Fill us with a desire, oh God. Grow us, oh God, from the left and to the right, oh God. Open our understanding, oh God. Let us know that you will never leave us, oh God. You will never forsake us, my God. We thank you. We worship you right now, Father. We lift up your name, Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just as we close, I want you just to pray with me right now. Just as we close, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word here this evening. We thank you for speaking for our sister, oh Lord, and remind us of the promises, oh God. Remind us that your word is true. Your promises are yes and amen. Your word given to us cannot return void. Lord, we stand on your word tonight, oh God, and we ask that you would move with us, that you would speak to us, that you would fill us with a desire and a passion and a determination to go all the way with you. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us, oh God. So we stand on your word as we expand your word right throughout this nation, oh God. Would you help us? Would you use us? Would you fill us, oh God, right now? Even as we go into this new week, oh God, I pray a blessing over every single one of us right now, that you would watch over us. You'd build a hedge of protection right around us, oh God, as we continue to see the kingdom of God come. Father, we love you so much. Father, we worship you. Father, we glorify you. Father, we lift up your name. Would somebody shout with me, hallelujah? Is somebody give God a big shout of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel like we just need to worship, just need to sing out as we go. Is that okay? Can we just sing out as we go? Just something that's going to just, something that's lifting us up. Is that all right? Something that's going to just lift us up.
Reason for sadness, 'cause you put joy in my soul. Turn my mourning to gladness. Now I sing a new song. There's no reason
for sadness.
You put
joy in my soul.
Turn my mourning
around to gladness. And now I sing
all
a new
night
song.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.